week, and they're preparing for the Passover and the festivals, the upcoming Feast of or Days of Unleavened Bread. It's hard to believe that it'll be here shortly. Every time in the announcements as we go through and we read it, April, I didn't remember the date, so I don't want to mislead you, so lest you show up at the wrong site. But it gets sooner and sooner, and you know, it's coming here quickly. And each year, as followers of Jesus Christ, beginning on the 15th of Nisan, sometime in the spring of the year, leaven and its products, cookies, bread, other glutinous-filled, deliciously normal, leaven-loaded treats are not consumed. We put them out of our house, and they're not eaten for 7 days. It's removed from our homes, our cars, our suit jackets, and wherever the other crumbs have fallen or been sneaked away. Which highlights two aspects of unleavened bread that I would like to talk about today. Consuming and removing. Consuming and removing. So today, let's look at some questions. Why do we not consume leaven during this period? Why do we throw it out? And to look at these and answer these questions, I want to look at the why, the what, the when, and the how. The why, the what, the when, and the how. And I want to look at it in a little slightly different order. And I'd like to begin with, what is leaven? What is leaven? What is it? And what does the Bible mean when it uses that term? Oh, excuse me, one second. I forgot a prop. I forgot Madeline. She's here to help me today. But what does the Bible mean when it uses this term? Well, first, we're going to look at it in a physical sense. And we'll highlight this and we can bring it up on the screen as well for those of you who can see it. This is what we call, sourdough starter, leaven in the biblical sense. It says, International Bible Encyclopedia, and I'll have it after church if you'd like to take a good whiff or if you'd like to borrow some for your own leaven and bread consumption. It's any agent added to a flour mixture or liquids to produce a state of fermentation. You'll notice it has that kind of pungent smell. The ancient Hebrews always kneaded their bread with a piece of fermented dough reserved from the previous baking. So they would set their bread out, they'd put a little water, maybe some sugar, they'd leave it out, and then let the natural yeast in the environment come and start to ferment. And right, continuing on, it says, and they would use that, and as it started to ferment and work, as the term would be, they'd keep a piece of it back. And so it says, they always kneaded their bread with a piece of fermented dough reserved from a previous baking. Other forms of leaven used in the ancient world were not mentioned in the Bible, whether the Hebrews employed them or not. So there are other forms of leavening, but when the Bible explicitly talks about leavening, they're talking about what we've pleasantly named Madeline here, which is our sourdough starter, and it actually, it would be less than a year old because it would have started to grow and germinate in my parents' house sometime after the Days of Unleavened Bread last year. So, I tried it, and we'll have some pictures of it up here shortly. I'm not quite the baker that I would like to be. It's a little different when you use gluten-free flour, too, as well. Just a warning out there. It turns into more of hardtack. But, it's essential that gluten is necessary. So, Cruden's Concordance says, a piece of dough salted and soured to ferment and relish a mass of dough for bread. The word is used also figuratively. So, in the Bible, we have the direct literal sense that the leaven is the yeast or the agent used to make the bread rise. And it's also used figuratively in the New Testament for teachings. In addition, the word focus on leaven in Nelson's New Study Bible says leaven was a common Jewish metaphor for an invisible, pervasive influence. So it's also used as an analogy or a metaphor. The UCG article on leavening says leaven is any agent that produces fermentation and causes dough to rise by causing the formation of carbon dioxide, by the formation of a carbon dioxide gas to bubble and to spread throughout the dough. This is accomplished either chemically, you might think of baking soda, baking powder, things like that, or biologically with yeast. All right. And if you'd also like to know, we'll go through one more definition of leaven. This was from Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, a substance used to produce fermentation in dough. For example, yeast. In Bible times, leaven was usually a piece of dough retained from a previous baking that was placed in the new dough to cause it to rise. You can be turning in your Bibles to Exodus 12. And if you have any other questions or want to think about it, there's also a handy-dandy little worksheet or old... It's not a spreadsheet. Handout. Handout on the information table that talks about what leaven is. You know, sodium bicarbonate, potassium ammonia carbonate, all those other things that you might think of, and, you know, the term yeast, right? So we're talking about physical yeast here. Turn with me to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Because here we're still talking about what leaven is, because this is what we're supposed to remove. So let's figure out what it is we're supposed to do, or what the thing is we're supposed to remove. All right, Exodus 12. The Israelites are receiving instructions for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. They're getting ready to leave Egypt. And here in verse 7, it says, that would be the incorrect. We'll start in 15. It says, starting in verse 14. So this shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So we're talking here about leavened bread. Bread that has had and gone through the fermentation process has risen. And we can see here that they were supposed to remove it from their houses, from their territory. We'll read another place. And this leavened product. So the bread that we're talking about is bread that is fermented. Bread that, if we go to the next slide, we'll give it a second. Sorry, I took some pictures. I did a little bit of bread making to figure out and just draw out the biblical experience. And like I said, it didn't turn out as good as I wanted. I used a little bit of Madlin as the old lump and about a cup of it to 4 cups of flour, the new lump, there. And then what happened? You mixed it in, and you knead it, and you let the bread and the fermentation process to occur. This yeast, and it rises. And then we see here, this leavening agent is added. We go one more slide to a dough, and then it's old leaven. It works within the system. It spreads throughout, and the bread and the lump is leavened. And then finally, you get what you wanted, which is the next slide, which is bread. Now, the one that looks like something that was actually made by a baker was made by my father. The one that looks like a lump of dough that was Play-Doh gone bad is mine. So, but this is what we're going for. That's what we're going for. Something that you would want to eat. That's what leaven does. That's the product that we're removing from our house, right? It says no leavened bread. That's what we're not eating. But remember something, and just a nice physical lesson here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5, 7. So, it says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, therefore, purge out the old leaven. All right, what is that leaven? That leaven was this. It was this agent that they were supposed to remove from their household, this sort of living organism, this yeast product that they would have had, that would have had readily available. They would just get rid of it, put it on the burner pile, do whatever, but they're to remove it. So that's what leaven is. It's this really great kind of smelly stuff that if you do it tonight, I will go home and I will add a little bit of more flour and a little bit of water, stir it up, let it continue to live. Tomorrow I'll make some more bread and then probably throw it out for the holidays. But so that's what the Bible is speaking of when it talks about leavening. Some things to note is that it takes time, right? As we talk through this leaven and leavening process, making leavened bread takes time. And this is just to add to our understanding and, you know, make our study of the scriptures a little more interesting as we go through it and review for these days of leavened bread coming up. It takes time. It took, if we show those slides again, to get the delicious looking product on my left, yeah, it would take about 24 hours. So 24 hours. That old leaven had to be added to the new lump, had to be kneaded in, had to allow the bread to work, to ferment, the carbon dioxide to move throughout all the dough, and then it would rise. It's not an instantaneous thing, the natural growth in the yeast process. Fun fact. This is a fun fact that I didn't know about. When it talks about the pervasive nature of leaven and the metaphorical nature of that. That, everybody knows that there's yeast around and it occurs naturally and it sort of permeates the atmosphere and the environment and, you know, even gross enough that there's so much of it that somebody can scratch their beard and make a beer, you know, which I find is about the most disgusting thing I've ever heard that you'd want to, like, market as a product. But speaking of the wheat itself, that the wheat actually contains yeast on it and in the kernels. And I'm not sure if it would be on the germ or on the shell or what portion of it. But when you would go to grind the wheat, that wheat would already contain the yeast needed to start that leavening process. So it's basically, you know, just add water, right? It brings to mind that phrase that you would grind the wheat, you would have it there. It would already contain the natural yeast needed to start that fermentation process. Stir it up, set it aside, let the yeast do its work, consume it, keep a little back. The old leaven, put that into a new batch and make your bread. And as we said, there are other means to cause leavening of bread, although not mentioned in the Bible, as we just talked about. It would be chemical. And also, there is a mechanical means, whipping, etc. They all produce the same results: light, fluffy, delicious snacks, if you're careful. If you're not good at it, you'll create hardtack, which I will admit, it wasn't too bad. We ate it all. So, either we have bad taste buds or we're just hungry for bread. But how about in leaven in the spiritual sense? Because that's really what we're getting at, brethren. What is leaven in the spiritual sense? Turn with me to Matthew 13, 33. Because we often think about it in a negative connotation, that it's only in the negative perspective that the Bible uses leavening. It's this chemical agent that infects everything and makes it bad. Well, is that the case? Matthew 13. Here, Christ uses it to describe something good. And he uses this aspect of its complete and pervasive nature, its ability to sort of be throughout the entire batch. Matthew 13, 33. And in this parable of the leaven, he's going through, he's speaking of parables, he's talked about the harvest, and now we're coming on to the kingdom parable. He says, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, right? Remember, it's like that little bit of Madeline. You take it, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. So she took a little bit of that leaven, put it out, put it in that dough, mixed it up, and hid 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened, until the process had occurred and it had completely leavened the entire batch. And in this spiritual sense, Christ is talking about the pervasive consuming nature of leaven in a positive nature. He's speaking in the nature of the kingdom of heaven, starting like a little leaven, and it's going to start hidden as a little batch, and then it's going to consume, and it's going to be all over and throughout the world. However, the message that we're more familiar with is the negative, the flip side of the spiritual aspects of leaven. Turn with me to Galatians 5, right? We're going to look at some of these scriptures that you may think about that are common to this time of year as we go through what is spiritual leaven, and just in a spiritual sense, what does it do? What is the metaphor used for? Galatians 5, 9. And I'm going to start in verse 7, right? It says, you ran well. You're doing great, Galatians. Everything is going great. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? When did you turn to wickedness? He's asking that question. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. And he tells them, it's not coming from God. It's coming from Satan. He says, and because of that, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Here, the leaven is used in a negative connotation to mean that it's going to affect the whole lump, being the body of the brethren in Galatia, would spread. He's saying, hey, be careful. That same physical analogy that we use to describe the leavening process is happening in the spiritual process throughout your body, throughout the church there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Paul uses the same language to describe sin, evil, and wickedness. Goes here, it says, in verse 6, your glorying, your pride, is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So what is it in the spiritual sense? In the spiritual sense, leaven is sin that is allowed to grow and permeate the whole body, whether it be the body of the entire body of church, the entire body of the brethren, or ourselves personally. I like the New Living Translation of this scripture just because it emphasizes on that aspect of the physical spreading of leaven and comparing it to the sin. It says, your boasting about this is terrible. It's terrible. Don't you realize that this sin, so he's comparing sin, is like a little yeast, right? That leavening agent that spreads throughout the whole batch of dough, right? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, and we'll see another example here of leavening and this negative connotation and pervasiveness. 2 Timothy. We're going to read about Hymenaeus, and we're going to go to 2:16. This is just following one of those memory scriptures. And in 2:16 it says, but shun, right? Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Right? So what are we to do? We're supposed to shun and shun profane babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, in this case it's compared to cancer, will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is past, and they overthrow the faith of some. The message is spreading like leaven. In this case, using cancer, but that same aspect of the pervasive nature. It's also used, so here we have leaven being compared to sin. We also have it in Matthew 16. And here we see it as hypocrisy. So we've talked about in these first scriptures the pervasive nature of leaven, how it infiltrates the entire batch of dough. I mean, if it didn't, you wouldn't want to use the product in the physical sense. If leaven didn't have that pervasive aspect and you were to put some in dough and it would only get to a quarter and never do the whole batch, you'd kind of be like, well, I'm not using that again. But that's an aside. Matthew 16. Speaking of the Pharisees here. So that pervasive character is something to think about. Matthew 16. And in verse 6, so they've just, Jesus Christ has just talked about the only sign he's really going to give, that he's going to be like the sign of Jonah. And when his disciples in verse 5 had come together, they had, and he departed them. And when his disciples had come together to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They didn't have any food. Ugh. Oh man, what have we done? They say. And then in verse 6, Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of that leaven. Well, what is the leaven that he's talking about? Well, in this case, he's talking about sin and the sin of hypocrisy. And we can read on a little bit further because it's an interesting story to draw some lessons from. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. We don't have any food. That's why he's telling us this story. But if you read in some of the parallel accounts, and he says, but when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, O, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many large baskets you took up? Remember, it's not about food. God will take care of you physically. He's going to feed you, is what he's saying. It is about the leaven, their attitude, their teaching. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, your stomach, guys, but that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And in this case, in verse 12, it is the teaching. It is their teaching to be aware of, not the fact that they didn't bring food. And their teaching in this case would be hypocrisy. It's also used spiritually to describe wickedness and malice. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 5:8 if you want a good description of sin. Wickedness is pretty much there. And another element that is talked about scripturally for the element of spiritual leaven is this attitude of puffing up, arrogance. So we have spiritually, leaven is used to describe the pervasive nature in sin, the all-consuming nature of it. It's used to describe sin, and it's also used to describe that spiritual puffing up. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 5:2, right? There's a great and grievous sin going on in the Corinthian church. And what does he say? And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. And you're puffed up. This arrogance has spread throughout the entire batch and made it. You know, when you're making that bread, you want it to puff up. Otherwise, you have what I made, which is not good to eat. But in this case, you want that. But in a spiritual analogy that Paul is talking about, he says it's not good. You're puffed up. You've allowed that thing to happen. All right. And you can also read in another example of this in Colossians. And he actually uses that example of knowledge puffing up in 1 Corinthians 8:1, if you'd like that for your notes. This is just another scripture to talk about that sort of rising spiritual nature that comes through the attitude of arrogance. It says, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. We see this arrogance. So two actions in the Bible from leaven that are highlighted are its ability to affect everything by the process of just letting it grow And the byproduct would be, so what I have is, we have the two examples of spiritual leaven for sin. We have sin, its action by puffing up, and its complete permeation. And it all sort of breaks down to the analogy of sin. So let's look at now, brethren, the how and when these elements are removed, and why this all goes together. And then we'll conclude with the why. So as a part of the bigger picture, why do we not consume, and how do we remove leaven, and when do we do it? Right? We have a lot of teens in our group. I think we did a teen Bible study in March, and we had 22 teens. So if you think it 80 people on average or today, that's like a quarter of us. And so maybe it's good to refresh these things for those. You know, I remember as being a kid talking about the days of leavened bread, you know, you remove leaven? All right, you know, just kind of that oddness. So let's talk about why and how. And to begin with, how do we do it? Well, remember last week, Mr. Light says we learn lessons spiritually through physical things. We learn, and Mr. Kinsella brought this out too as well when he talked about the bread and the wine and Passover. But last week, Mr. Light talked about marriage and the analogy there and the lessons that we learn through that. Well, leaven, likewise, we learn spiritual lessons by removing it physically. Turn back with me to Exodus 12, 15. As we go through this, how and when. Exodus 12, verse 15, we'll see the following. So we see here, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So it would be a sin. So we see here it talks about we shall remove leaven and we shall not eat it for 7 days. It's pretty straightforward. It's not like a complex order here. There's no like, well, parallel this scripture and passage this scripture. No, but we have more that will build upon it. Leviticus 23, speaking of God's holy days, Leviticus 23, 6, verse 5 talks about the Passover, and then in verse 6 of Leviticus 23, remember we're talking about how and when, we're starting out with this physical aspect of how, it says, on the 15th day of the same month, right? And in verse 5 describes this the first month. So, in verse 6, on the 15th day of the same month, being the first month, is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. All right? So, the 15th day of the first month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. All right? So, if I'm eating unleavened bread, what does that mean? It means I'm not consuming leaven. Right? I'm not consuming leavened bread. Just like the same chapter in Exodus 12. And it also talks about that you would have a holy day on the first day. And so we go on to Deuteronomy 16. Just reiterating how long we do not consume and how long we are to have it removed from our households. Says in verse 3 in Deuteronomy 16, you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice at the first day at twilight remain until morning? So here we see, we are to remove it and we are not to consume it for 7 days. And so how do we do this? Well, like I said, it's pretty straightforward. You don't eat it. Like, that's it. Don't eat it. Physically. And like I said, there's no grand element. It's just we don't eat it. And as Scripture has said, no leaven is to be seen among you. So what do? Physically, we throw it out. We throw it out of our houses, our cars, our offices, and other places. Areas where we have control. And this will look different. And this will look differently for each of us throughout the body. But with the objective being that we are removing the leaven from our lives physically. And why do I say it will look differently? Because ultimately, we all have to make the choice. Am I going to clean behind the freezer or not? Am I going to clean here or not? Am I going to do this thing or not? Well, that's where conscience and the fact that we all have to stand before Jesus Christ at some point in time and answer for what we do or do not do. It's a personal decision at that point. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, remove your leaven from your households. That's it. And from your territory. It looks a little bit different for everybody. I remember one time going in. This is just me. This is not a thing that I would probably do the same way. But I remember going into my office and cleaning my office, you know, my cubicle and scrutinizing it and doing it that way. That was mine. That was my conscience. That's not yours. But I was removing areas. And I remember like shaking out my keyboard and like all these crumbs from 1,000 lunches coming out like, you know, things like that. We have, you know, what is God looking for? God's looking at the heart. He's looking at those different elements. And so in that regard, it is a personal choice. But God does say physically we are to remove the leaven from our territories. All right. Excuse me one second. And I also probably, in that time frame, I cleaned out my bookshelves too as well, which I probably didn't need to do because I don't think my neighbor was throwing bits of leaven into my code books from over his cube. You know, sometimes we're just cleaning dirt. We're not actually removing leaven. So forgive me, I appear to have not printed one of my pages of notes. So, okay. It's kind of handy to have it on a Google Drive where you can access it, which is nice. Takes away a little some of the fear, not some of the embarrassment, but some of the fear. All right. So as Scripture has stated, we're not supposed to have any leaven to seen among us, so we throw it away. Like I said, we remove it. The overall goal being that we are to physically remove leaven from our homes as a part of a greater spiritual lesson. That's what God is driving at. God is driving at, I want you to remove the physical leaven from your life to teach you a spiritual lesson. And spiritually, how do we remove leaven from our lives? How does that occur? What does that look like? Remember, what did leaven look like spiritually? It looks like sin. So we're supposed to be getting sin out of our lives for 7 days. Therefore, as we look at removing and not consuming, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:28. And while we're turning there, I want to talk about the when. When does this all occur? Does it occur at a convenient time? Does it all happen in the summer when it's easy, we can take vacations, or no? When does it occur? Well, As we read, it occurs on the 15th day of the first month. For 7 days, we put out leaven physically. We don't consume it spiritually as well. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:28. What are we supposed to do before we take the Passover and as we enter these spring holidays? It says, and what is this physical lesson of leaven to teach us? It says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that cup and drink of that. Eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So to put out leaven spiritually means we actually have to identify the spiritual sins in our lives and the sin in our lives. It means we have to be a little bit more introspective and take a look at what we think, how we act. Do we hang on to bitterness? Are we allowing leaven to permeate our lives such that, well, we have bitterness towards an individual over here, and we haven't resolved it, we haven't solved it, but we identify it, and then it grows and permeates through our lives into bitterness towards other people. Do we have that? So we remove it spiritually by looking at it, identifying it, and then making a plan to change or ask God for repentance and help with changing. But to do that, we have to examine our lives. We have to use that same effort and energy that we put into removing leaven from our physical homes, into removing sin from our spiritual lives, right? It's interesting, sometimes it's easier to get the leaven out of your car and to put a lot of effort into that than it is to take the time to ask yourself and myself those tough questions. Like, what is my attitude here? What am I thinking? What is the motivation of my heart, right? What is that state like? Examine ourselves. Because that's what we want to do, right? Christ warns us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What was that leaven of the Pharisees? It was hypocrisy. It was this outward showing of grand righteousness. All at the same time, devouring widows' houses. What did Christ tell them? You will go over land and sea to make a proselyte. But you will make him twice as bad. Twice as bad. Turn with me to Matthew 23, right? Matthew 23. Because as we take, and how do we remove this leaven, and why do we do it? Through this time, it says, let a man examine yourselves. How are we doing? Are there things in our spiritual life that we need to change? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This is the leaven of hypocrisy. And we can act and we can look in our own lives. Do we have the leaven of hypocrisy? Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it, right? Always looking for that nuanced, that get out of jail free card, right? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup, speaking of our heart and our internal nature, and dish, and then the outside may be clean also. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs that appear indeed beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, outwardly you appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Remember, we're looking at what is the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaven that we should be avoiding? This duplicity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Just think, all those things that he talks about, that they do. You know, they desire to have the best seats. They make trumpets. They make when they did offerings. Could you imagine that? That when we did offerings and it went around, I mean, just imagine what that would be like. Put your green envelope in the basket. Right? You're not doing the offering because you want the praise from God and because it's commanded. We're doing the offering in that case for the praise of men, right? Hypocrites. It says, so to remove leaven spiritually, look at our lives. It takes an inner introspection with prayer, time, fasting even, just to take a look and ask God in his mercy to show us those sins, show us those areas where we grow and that spiritual leaven that exists in our lives, and then make plans to change it. The last element I want to discuss today, brethren, is the why. Why? Why do we do this? Because that's where the rubber meets the road in some ways. Physically, it's the easiest answer is because God says so. That's easy. It's the answer. It's like one of those open and closed cases. Because my Lord tells me to. And we are told all throughout Scripture to remove leaven. And that leaven pictures sin. We also do it because the feasts are part of God's eternal law. And we can see them throughout Scripture for all mankind. And since we keep the feasts, we also keep the feast of unleavened bread, which requires us to remove leaven from our lives. So let's look at references to the days of unleavened bread throughout Scripture. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 18. Right? Because we'll see early evidence of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread prior to Mount Sinai. And here, this one is just, like I said, evidence, a little bit of speculation or inference. But we're going to see here in chapters 18 and 19, two cases. And in these two cases, Abraham makes unleavened bread, or actually Sarah makes unleavened bread, and Lot makes unleavened bread. Now, they're separated by how far? Sodom to wherever Lot was dwelling, or to wherever Abraham was dwelling. Why would they be making unleavened bread at the same time of year? You could say, well, it was because they were hasty and they didn't have time to allow the bread to rise. Well, maybe, but I can't imagine, and we'll read here an example, that you couldn't use a little bit of leaven and starter and have some leavened bread by the time you killed a calf and cooked it where it was edible in that same time frame. So it's not clear, it's not explicit, but I think it points to evidence of them keeping the days of unleavened bread. And was there leavened bread not around? Right? I mean, Abraham had 300 servants. He was like a mayor of a mobile city. You would think that he probably had some people who were in charge of baking tasty goods, and that would be around. Genesis 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by terebinth, the terebinth trees of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men in verse 2 were standing. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought to wash and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts and you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf and gave it to the young man to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf and he prepared. And He prepared it and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and then they ate. Verse 19, we'd always took that as to a reference to unleavened bread. Verse 19, in chapter 19, the angels come into in verse 3, it says, in Leviticus, Genesis 19, 3, it says, but he insisted strongly, so they interned into him, so they came and dwelt in his house and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. So, you see this kind of reference to the days of unleavened bread? It's not a cut and dry one, I would say. That's fine. We also have examples throughout the Bible where God directed his people to keep the Passover and days of unleavened bread. Exodus 12, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. We see the examples of Josiah, Hezekiah, and all the examples of the people of Israel keeping the holy day throughout that time. Then, also, this is building upon the why. Why do we ultimately do it? Well, we saw Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, do it, right? Luke 2. Mr. Kinsella referenced this scripture. Luke 2. Right? Verse 41. Right? Remember back in Leviticus 23, we read about the feasts of God. They're not the feasts of the Jews. They're the feast of God. We read about them. And in verse 41, we see his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Right? They kept the days of unleavened bread. They went up to Jerusalem every year. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Jesus Christ kept the holy days. He kept these days of unleavened bread, even as an adult. John 6. John 6. As a reference point here, it says, Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. You have that reference. And then Christ is asked by his brothers, are you going up to the feast? And he says, my time's not yet ready. Then we have in John 13, he says, with fervent desire, I have desired to keep this Passover with you. All these examples of Christ keeping the feast. We have examples of the New Testament church keeping the feast and days of unleavened bread. Acts 12, right? Acts 12, we have a reference in this case. He says, now in verse 12, in chapter 12, verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he sought to please the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. We see this point of reference here that, hey, it was during the days of unleavened bread when Herod did these things. You can go back to Acts 2. They were keeping Pentecost together. Not the days of unleavened bread, but we can see them keeping the feast as to a reason why we still do it. Acts 20:16. Or actually 20 verse 6. My apologies. Paul, what does it say? It says, these men, in verse 5, going ahead, waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, and we stayed there 7 days. So we see here the Apostle Paul staying in Philippi during the days of unleavened bread. We also see it again in 20:16, another reference to the holy days, in the sense that it says, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, right? He didn't want to go hang out with the Ephesian brethren because it would take too long, so he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. We still see. So why do we do this? We do this because we see the continuation of God's holy days throughout Scripture. You can also reference Colossians 3 and other passages. Turn back with me to Zechariah. Zechariah 14, right? So we've seen them done. We've seen them done or alluded to before Sinai, after Sinai, in the New Testament church, and they will be done in the future. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations who came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the King and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Right? We see it in the future, during the 1,000 years, and as it stretches forward, that God will still have his people keep his feasts. We do this so that we can learn that spiritual lesson. That spiritual lesson of putting sin out of our lives. Finding it out, removing it. So, brethren, what is leaven? Right? What is it? Right? Leaven is this physical agent that used when mixed in dough will cause it to rise. It will permeate the entire process. It will permeate the entire dough. It's used for baking. It can be mechanical. It can be chemical. And it can be, as the Bible describes, yeast. When do we do it and how do we do it? Well, we physically remove leaven from our homes prior to the 15th of Nisan for 7 days. We keep it out of our homes. We don't eat it. We don't consume it. We remove it. And as I said, this is done on the 15th of Nisan, the first of the month. Why do we do this? Because it's clearly laid out in scriptures that God's festivals are all through and meant for us, his people, to be kept throughout all time. The festivals of God's are timeless. They are holy days through which, by physically keeping them, we learn spiritual lessons. We learn that this physical leaven points to a spiritual lesson that we are to remove from our lives. This sin will permeate our entire lives if we allow it to grow and to fester and to ferment, and that we are to remove it. And by keeping the days of unleavened bread, we do learn that lesson of putting sin out of our lives and becoming more and more and like our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us keep the feast, brethren. Let us remove and let us not consume physical or spiritual leaven.